football on off the ball.
I never felt like we were going to this World Cup, but you just wanted a sense of improvement. You wanted a sense of, and what we've got instead, they hammered us tonight, lads. Like, I think this is the worst ever Irish performance ever.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
And we're live. You're very welcome along to this week's episode of the NFL Pod. Keane and Mick are here, fresh from pretty interesting wild weekend. Like some very boring games, some incredible games. It's kind of everything you'd expect from the opening weekend, right?
Possibly the greatest game of the season already played, and one of the greatest games anyone's ever played, I think, on Sunday night.
You thought it was that good, yeah?
I mean, it had
drama.
Of
the comeback.
It had drama, but it also had like incredible football on both sides, and you had two quarterbacks playing at the peak of their power. Like, you can't turn around and blame either quarterback for any situation there.
I was hearing people talk about and like making conclusions off the back of it about what might happen if they meet again, but it's totally irrelevant.
It isn't, it isn't. That game is, but there's a trend now with that Ravens team. Like, I wrote the kind of details down of it. I can go through them in a while. But this team, it's so incredibly good at finding a way to lose games it shouldn't lose. Like, they were 40-25 up in the fourth quarter with 7 minutes left. You should never lose that game when you're 40-25 up, you're 15 points up. They got the ball back. Derrick Henry fumbled it away. And the main issue I have with that, look, the fumbles happen. But they weren't even running the clock down. They were snapping the ball at 25 or 26, 27 seconds. So it's stuff like that that this Ravens team does that frustrates you. And it's why they haven't won a Super Bowl, I would guess, since their last one in New Orleans all those years ago. But it's that thing with John Harbaugh. You think John Harbaugh should be on top of all that stuff. And we kind of just assume that he is. But over recent years, that hasn't been the identity of that team.
Are teams losing games kind of as a part of their identity, losing games they should win? Not always the case until they win. You know, and history teaches us that sort of the talent comes through eventually.
I don't know. I suppose, would you apply this to all
sports?
So
say 2 years ago, there was a sense that Lamar can't get it done in the playoffs, right? Then last year, Lamar has a really good game in their playoff, their heartbreaking playoff defeat, but they lose because Mark Andrews drops the ball and because they're playing a team of equal standard. You know, they're not necessarily better than the Bills or the Chiefs. They're kind of on that level, and they've just had the luck of the last couple of years. Like, Lamar's only been probably at his like peak. This is probably the third, possibly fourth season of his peak. You could argue they're getting closer. They lost a 1-point game in Buffalo, 41-40. And everything you're saying is exactly right, but it's also week one.
It's kind of funny.
It doesn't matter really, you know.
Because we're also still saying that about Josh Allen and the Bills. Like, basically anyone in the AFC right now, unless you're Patrick Mahomes, you can't get a done guy
Is Burrow the only other current AFC quarterback that's played in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I would guess so.
Starting.
I've met Russell Wilson, but like, does he really count?
No. He's in the NFC anyway.
Oh, well, sorry. Yeah, he's on to the Jets, isn't he? Rodgers.
The Giants, yeah.
I mean, Rodgers.
Well, Rodgers, I suppose, yeah.
Well, he might be back.
I mean, he's pretty good at the weekend.
I suppose it's very easy to draw conclusions from this, but then also at the same time, remembering that it is week one and there will be mad overreactions. And if these two teams play again, half the team will be injured on both sides, more than likely.
Is this our segue into talking about the 49ers? Well, the rant, I was just assuming that rant was going to start this show.
Why are the 49er players always injured?
Yes, this is a real question.
It's like Spurs last year, you know. It's like, oh, if we didn't have these injuries, then we'd be great. But like, there's a reason you always
Did you ever see the Giants? A couple of years back, the Giants had a director of physiotherapy or whatever it was, director of medical, and he was like 87 years of age. And the Giants had like great medical teams for all those years. But you're looking at him, you're like he was doing ACLs back when people didn't know when they ended careers and stuff. And yet, you would think all of these teams and all these franchises would have the top level of rehab and stuff like that, but in the NFL it's not always the case. Like the Chargers, remember Chargers had that doctor who was massively controversial and used to have constant injuries. Tyrod Taylor sued them.
He accidentally stabbed
Tyrod
Taylor
in the lung.
Launched Justin Herbert's career.
Do the 49ers have like any of this around them, or is it just 100% random that we see?
And I honestly don't know. They have like at various stages over the last number of years. You know, we're going to deep dive into all this, and at one stage, the S&C and the medical people were separate, and then they brought them all into the same department. And it just like Kittle is old, right? So him getting a hamstring injury at 31, not massively surprising. I think the Purdy injury is partly somebody stood in his toe, So like,
I don't actually know what that injury is. Is it just a foot injury?
He's got two. They said toe and I think shoulder. Shoulder's fine, but
yeah, he'll be playing, so he's not really injured.
I suspect they'll keep him out, and Mac Jones will play for the Niners because they're playing New Orleans this weekend, and they suspect they'll be able to.
I mean, you don't want to be the only team that gives New Orleans that win this year. I feel like it'll be one. The only will be one.
Oh, in 16, you changed your.
My under bet on New Orleans. They played okay at the weekend, and now they're going against a quarterback I never heard of this week. Damn.
Mac Jones.
You've heard him.
I thought you said Matt Jones.
I was like,
Jones, that's even worse.
Like, you've blanked him from the Patriots history.
I thought it was a guy called Matt Jones.
Anyway, I don't know. 49ers, too boring to talk about now. They sacked their kicker, finally.
Wow. And that's unbelievable, because like, you've been talking about this kicker for 2 years, and it's like, and I know that they gave significant capital to him for a kicker. It was ridiculous, but I was refusing to believe that it was that bad. It was insane. But at the end of the day, you can get over it. It's not the end of the world. But it was like, you kind of think, oh, it's circumstance. And when he came out and kicked that field goal, the end of the first half, was it, on Sunday, and he missed it, and you're like, this can't go on. This actually just cannot go on. And then, yeah, they waived them.
The hit rate on finally these, gone. When you select, like, I know Janikowski years and years ago was a first round pick or whatever, and that worked out well. Even then, you could still argue for a kicker, it's not worth it. And Shane Leckler was a fairly high pick as well. So it's only the Raiders get this right, because everyone else tries this. I remember years ago, the Steelers drafted Daniel Sepulveda, who was a punter, and his whole selling point was he was Australian, moved into college and played at college in America, but he could tackle like a rugby player, he could chase players down like a rugby player because of his background, and they were like, this is the next big thing, this guy's going to be unbelievable, can kick off his left foot like a spiral bombs or into the corner, and he was caught after a year, and they spent a third round pick on him. Same situation I think was Brad Wing with the Giants. You might remember Brad Wing, he was at LSU, kicked with both feet, and that was the big thing, and he was going to be this punter who comes in and does that. And I think the hit rate on punters and kickers are probably lower than quarterbacks, which is saying something.
Patriots drafted a guy this year, and he looks like a kind of a safety, and he's wearing a weird number, and you know, he missed.
See, the kicker or the kicker,
and missed the field goal, an easy field goal, like in the, you know, 30 something yards at the weekend. And then you got Nick Folk, who's been there for the last few years, is back on the Jets. Looks 55-year-old, and he's nailed them. Never goes anywhere but right in the center of things. He was the only thing that worked on the Patriots team last year. And, you know, you got to draft the young guy.
I'm surprised Nick Folk is only 40.
I think the thing about the late third round, I went and looked to see who else was picked in that draft. And, Roshan Johnson, I think, comes after him. But there's loads of crap.
Ah, the Robs.
Like, the whole, like, oh, we wasted a third round pick we could have had. And then you pick the very best player who was an all-pro.
I know.
That flukily fell in the draft for whatever reason. It's like, that was one of those drafts that they were still paying for Trey Lance. So I think if there'd been a first round pick that year that everybody focused on, and they got this guy, he was their second pick at the end of the third round, potentially a compensatory pick, I'm not sure, but certainly, you know, it was maybe Flotsam and Jetsam and some other trade they'd made. It's not that big a deal. It's just that
you have
wasn't
to move
very
on
good.
From the mistake, though, don't you? Yeah, quicker, and you probably don't when it's a third round pick as much as you would if it was a usual undrafted free agent in the way that kickers probably normally are, you know. So that's probably the issue there, but they've moved on now and they can move on. I think the issue with the 49ers, from what I saw in what was a dull old game against the Seahawks, I thought the Seahawks would be a bit better as well, actually, is that I don't know if they've... The sense with the Niners is that on defense as well as on offense, where everybody's kind of like this on offense, but on defense is like they have their guys who are great, and
but
then they've kind of got
fewer
nobody
now.
Else. Yeah, and they've lost that couple, you know, with Greenlaw gone. There isn't that sort of depth that was there even in the starting 11.
So to the point about the first week of games not mattering, even when you're a brilliant team like the Bills or the Ravens, I think that you don't know the truth about any of these things until week 7, week 8, you know, if you're still in it, right? If you're at least 500 at that point, you're going to have an opportunity to improve over a 4-week stretch, where if you win 4 games at that point, you're almost guaranteed to be in the playoffs, right? Yeah. And that's not... That's why, so obviously they've got a defensive coordinator in Robert Saleh, who I think probably can survive not having amazing guys.
Yeah.
Shannon's offense looked not great, you know? I mean, okay, he's missing a few players.
I would say, wasn't it?
Let's give the ball to Christian McCaffrey no matter where he is. I get it. He's very good, but he also came into it with a calf injury, which he lost the whole season to last year. And they gave him more touches than he's ever had in his life.
And Jordan Mason looked very good on Monday night, who they jettisoned away last
and
year.
And did you see who scored an end-around touchdown?
Oh.
For the Commanders.
Debo.
Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't have given up on Debo. I think it was probably time to move on. But the fact is, when I saw him doing the end around, I was like, whoa, I haven't seen him do that in 2 years. That was what he became famous for.
Yeah.
And I think they moved away from him as much as he moved
totally.
Away from
well,
them.
It was the my money. They paid him the deal.
But even when he was on the team, I mean, I feel like that they kind of had given up on him a little bit.
Well, he would have had some complaints about the conditioning teams. And like, there was just he held out, they paid him. And because he held out and then didn't play well, they were like, screw you. And they got rid of him. I think it was a third round pick, maybe, or something.
Something
a fifth. I don't know. I'd say there's a bit of a stink around them unless they get a bit of momentum quickly and get some wins. And we'll see. I mean, they've given a huge amount of money to their quarterback, who's fine.
You did mention Trey Lance earlier, and Trey Lance, I actually weirdly had a conversation about Trey Lance yesterday because someone was kind of saying it's a bit sad that he's come in, he's had a couple of games and basically hasn't played. But I did get to thinking, like, he's with the Chargers right now, and he's kind of, I don't know if he's thinking this, but if he is thinking this, he's kind of positioned himself perfectly for long-term opportunities because he's got Jim Harbaugh there, who's notably a great quarterback developer and notably has worked with a quarterback who's very similar to Trey Lance in the past. But this is my segue to the Chargers and how good Justin Herbert looked on Friday night and how good the Chargers as a whole looked on Friday night. And I was sat there watching that game. Actually, it was on Saturday morning watching it back, and I was thinking to myself, you know what we haven't done this year that we do every single year is hype up the Chargers and how good the Chargers are going to be. And this is the one year we haven't done it. So I feel like this year, this might be the year it actually happens, because Khalil Mack looks like he's 26 again. Omarion Hampton was an incredible addition on offense. Well,
for an old lineman, I'm just saying this will be the fittest he is, like Aaron Rodgers and so on, you know.
Yeah, your boy, the wide receiver, caught two. Is he still your boy, or did you
Quentin? No, he was on my bench, but I didn't cut him. He's been there for quite a while.
I'd say you were hovering over
not
the button.
Doing anything, but he was. I did think about cutting him. Yeah. Turned out that I had loads of worse players. Keenan Allen, loads of catches as well. So the Chargers were amazing.
My problem was suddenly he can run again.
We were at the 150th anniversary of Bauer Media on Friday night. Great night. And on the way home, I was on the bus. No, I wanted to watch it. It wasn't on anywhere.
Oh, was it a DAZN game or a Channel 5?
YouTube. It was YouTube.
Oh, and could I just watch it for free on YouTube?
That I don't know, but it was on
YouTube. Well, I never thought. I even had a quick look at Netflix and they were advertising Christmas games. But no.
It was all the YouTubers
Sky,
were doing it all.
I thought Sky had all the games, but it was disappointing not to be able to see it because Xavier Worthy went out in the first drive. So
one of your boys too?
He's one of my boys too, yeah. I think it seemed like it was Travis Kelce's fault.
No, it's fair what you say about Mack right in his health, and he probably will.
Ah, no, I think Khalil Mack is amazing. I'm just saying,
but the thing is,
he's not 27.
What we will say about, like, last year, when it came into the start of the season, around this time last year, I was kind of talking about how Harbaugh's great at sorting out defenses. When he first went to San Francisco, he turned that defense, it was a talented defense, into this really physical, disciplined unit. And then last year, with the Chargers in his first season, their defensive backs were falling over on their own. They were missing tackles in the open field at a huge rate. They weren't hitting anyone. They were just tackle wrapping up and pulling them down. Against the Chiefs on Friday night, they were bullying the Chiefs players. And now it was easier once Wordy went out because they have no speed once Wordy's out and Rashee Rice is out. But the only reason that game was close was Mahomes working miracles. Like that throw at the end to over the top of the defense in behind where he's being chased out of bounds. That's ridiculous stuff. And they were doing that just to keep in touch. That's how good the Chargers were on both sides of the ball. Like they dominated that game, even though statistically it probably doesn't reflect that.
How was the new Chargers running back?
Omarion Hampton, he didn't have big numbers, but it was a situation where, so last year they had J.K. Dobbins, right? And J.K. Dobbins, for all intents and purposes, had a good year. But J.K. Dobbins is a running back who, he might get you 40 yards on a run, and then he might get you 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4, 40, which is fine. You need those types of backs. Hampton is a big guy, and he's much more like a Frank Gore. He's got that bullying nature where this play should gain 2 or 3 yards, but he falls forward for 3 or 4. But the thing that really stood out for me is he can make every single run that they want to run because Greg Roman's still the offensive coordinator there. He wants to run out there. He wants to run out here. He wants to run this way. He wants to change direction and run all this. He's not just going to go, here's the ball, run straight. He needs his big back to be nimble. And this guy's got ridiculous footwork. He's dancing in the hole and making all these swift movements, which he did in college, but it doesn't always translate. Be really, really excited about him. Now, the numbers didn't line up, but that I think part of the issue there is they've got a really good offensive line there right now, but it's all pass protection rather than like big mauling run blocking guys. So there's a nice dynamic there. It's going to be a really interesting team to watch and develop. But I would, my big concern would be that, like Mick's fantasy team, they're relying on Quinton Johnston, who famously can't catch the ball, which is a challenge when you're a wide receiver.
Maybe the penny has dropped. Sometimes it just takes year three for the wide receivers to break out.
Is Mike Johnson back there as well?
No, I think Mike Williams retired, actually.
Oh, did he? I think he went back briefly last year.
He went back and then had to retire.
Receivers.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Chargers look incredible. The Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. We're not going to write them off because there's no point ever until
the first time losing to the Chargers in a long time. The
corpse is dead.
But you think about maybe like week six, if they have Worthy, Rice back, you know, it's a different looking team.
They have to, because that'll make
Kelce better. It'll make, you know, there's...
This ties into something else that we're going to talk about as well, though. Like, that Tyreek Hill trade has never looked more likely, as in the return back to Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, just got him back for nothing.
Yeah, and the report I saw this week, now, these days it's so hard to know what's an accurate report and what is actually just nonsense. But the report I saw at the moment was that the Dolphins are open to it, but they're going to hold until the trading deadline because they want to make sure they get the most from it. There was an amazing stat this week that Ari Mirov put up. The last time Tyreek Hill caught a 30-plus yard ball, when do you think it was?
That's obviously something week outrageous. One.
Week one last year. So it was 365 days.
I remember it, and that's why I probably thought.
It was against the Patriots.
Was it? No, I don't know.
But either way, like there's no point in having him in your offense if you're not hitting those plays with him. And by the looks of it, he hasn't slowed down. So that's a Dolphins issue more than it is a Tyreek Hill issue. If you put him back in that offense, if you put Rashee Rice back in, if Xavier Worthy comes back healthy at some point, suddenly we're back
Hollywood Brown.
Well, I mean, he catches a lot of balls. But
it's
that's
an incredible
not a
collection
thing.
Of has-beens and never-works.
Yeah, almost.
It's mad. And still, they all look incredible. And Patrick Mahomes is dancing around, throwing the ball to them. So we did bury the lead. The Chiefs want to come to Ireland. Like, whatever London did to piss off the NFL and get a lot of shit teams coming for about 15 years, we're going to have a very interesting game this year with superstar QB debutante JJ McCarthy, who we haven't spoken about, for the Vikings. And then next year we're going to have Patrick Mahomes after Bill Belichick is here in the summer, if he still has a job. That's amazing.
I mean, like, Mahomes coming here would be, Rodgers, I guess, like, Rodgers is on another level too, right? So reputation wise,
he is, but he's
celebrity wise,
totally washed up.
I mean, yeah, but like, in terms of Mahomes coming here, I'm trying to think beyond sport. Who's the biggest star, like, that would have come to Ireland to
Tom,
play?
Tom Brady was playing golf and on the
late. I don't think that counts.
To play their own sport, though.
Actually, like,
oh, yeah. Leo Messi played here, I think, twice or three times.
No, I'm talking about recently, though. When was
friendly.
I mean, I saw Brazil play here 20 years ago.
Never a competitive game.
No, never competitive.
Zidane, Thierry Henry, they're the, like, any other ball.
So there's no one.
Rory McIlroy, obviously.
Yeah, last week.
Yeah, fair enough. That's our homegrown. That's where we're going. We're not biased at all. But I mean, on a superstar level, like, dude, that's pretty much as big as it's going to get for us. And we get Andy Reid. Imagine the carnage Andy Reid's going to get up to Dublin.
I don't know anything about Andy Reid's carnage.
Andy Reid loves a night out, famously, and loves a big cheeseburger.
Loves a pint.
I would be very excited about the Chiefs. I realise that they've broken the 49ers' hearts on a couple of occasions.
So there's no sense that the Steelers are going to own the game.
Well, they might be playing the Chiefs next year, are they?
I don't know.
I don't know if they'd be giving up. So the other thing is that didn't we think that they only really want to give up a home game on the year they've nine?
From the Steelers' perspective, yeah.
Yeah, so you have nine home games 1 year, eight the next, isn't it? So they still want to have eight games at whatever Heinz Field is called now.
Yeah.
The Steelers do not play the Chiefs next year as it currently stands, but they do play an AFC West. The AFC West is the Chiefs, isn't it? The AFC West team, but that's going to be determined based on record.
Okay, so
they could potentially. And it's a home game for the Steelers.
Right. But they only have eight home games next year. So we suspect they won't do that.
Dublin, yeah.
Whereas, if the Chiefs just decide to come, they're coming, then suddenly it's like, well, okay, they're, you know.
Yeah, maybe we get two games. Maybe there's the back-to-back Dublin weeks.
None of these Jags nonsense.
Just keep sending the Saints and the Titans over to London.
I mean, it's mad.
People in London are just sick of Trevor Lawrence.
In 2 years, we'll be like, it's time to hold a playoff game over here, lads.
Exactly.
These regular season games
Bowl,
aren't good enough. The first international Super Bowl in Dublin.
Micah Parsons looked incredible, it says here.
Micah Parsons, like, this is scary because Micah Parsons apparently had a back injury coming into the game, and that whole thing was like, oh, he doesn't actually have a back injury. But They didn't play him on every down, which suggests he was dealing with a back problem. He was basically a situational pass rusher. But for a situational pass rusher, he had a ridiculous impact on the game. The first third down of the game, he breaks through the pocket and gets the Jared Goff, forces a check down, forces a punt immediately. Jared Goff throws an interception soon after, and it's because Parsons jumps off the line, goes across the face of Penei Sewell, and is in Goff's face, which forces the ball out straight away. And then he gets his sack late in the game where he goes to the opposite side of the offensive line and chases Goff down from behind. But beyond the plays where he was directly involved, he was just bullying Penei Sewell. And Penei Sewell is one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL. If you tied me, Mick, and Jared together, we wouldn't be as big as Penei Sewell is. And he's as strong can be. No one there is bullying him. And somehow Parsons turned up and was grabbing him, throwing him aside, throwing him to the ground, ragdolling him in such a way that just hasn't happened. A big key here, and we had talked about this beforehand, the play calling for the offensive didn't set Goff up in the way it has before, the absence of Ben Johnson, because there was a big thing with Teddy Bruschi last week talking about how Parsons is a problem and how he actually doesn't help your defense because you can attack him with trick plays and move him left and right. Now, maybe if Ben Johnson was there, they would have done a lot more of that and it would have slowed Parsons down and that would have prevented him from taking over the way he did. But that didn't happen. So Parsons was able to take over the game. It was an incredible performance for them. They must be delighted with what they've got in return straight away, and a very, very concerning performance for the Lions.
There's a bit of context to it as well in that Sewell, there's a new award this year called the Protector of the Year or something like that. You know, so it's basically an offensive lineman award. And I just looked at the odds before the start of the season, and Sewell odds-on favourite to win it. You know, so this is arguably the best offensive lineman, or the best tackle anyway, in football, and that's Parsons' first game. And I think he only, because he was nursing that injury and because he's probably only new to the team, I think he, and pass rushers don't play every down anyway, the number of downs he was in were in the 20s.
I would have been very low.
It was less than, I would say, about maybe 40%, 45% of the team's downs that he was on, and he caused trouble in every single one. So this is dangerous, and this is him going against the best right tackle there is in the game. And what's he going to do next week? I don't even know who they're playing, but it won't be against Sewell next week.
Why would we play the other 16 weeks that are left?
To put Sewell into context, so Sewell, when he was coming out, the choice for the Lions and the Bengals was between Jamar Chase and Penei Sewell. And no one is turning around saying that the Lions should have gotten Jamar Chase for as good as Jamar Chase is, because that's how good Sewell is. But if we are talking about offensive line from that game, the Packers absolutely shut down the Lions. Jordan Love was dropping back in the pocket as much time as he wanted. Aiden Hutchinson right now is trying to get a new contract, a long-term deal, but remember he had that gruesome injury last year?
Yeah.
Looked slow, didn't look very explosive, which hamstrung the rest of the defense then.
I mean, this is one of those things you could overreact to and say the Lions are not going to be anything like the force they were last year. I think probably people expect some kind of regression. But equally, maybe it just takes their new coordinators a while to get back to the level. And, you know, they're one of those teams who gets to week 8.
Division game on the road in week 1 too.
Yeah. Against arguably a team that we think could be one of the best teams in the NFL and are fairly settled outside of the Parsons. Parsons was a cherry on top for the Packers.
Did you see the Christian Watson story? So Christian Watson's coming back from a torn ACL. And they gave him an extra year on his deal and was like, hey, take your time coming back. We don't want you to rush back because you're going to hit free agency next year. And that to me is just like, that's a real sign of a franchise that's really running itself really well right now. Like, they're going all out with Parsons and are trying to make sure Watson doesn't rush himself back so he's available for the playoffs later on. You got to feel really good about where the Packers are, don't you?
Are they still the youngest team in the NFL? They certainly keep banging on about it, sir. People have been.
I haven't heard this once, by the way. You've mentioned this twice. You mentioned this last week as well.
Did I? Yeah, certainly. It's in the ether there.
They're not old anyway. No, that's for sure.
Okay, so the Dolphins, we suspected might be bad, but probably not this bad. Does he make it to much further?
Well, they lose to the Patriots in Miami this week, which is far from a guarantee. He could be gone by Monday. Because
do you think he walks or do you think he gets fired?
Well, I don't see why he wouldn't get fired, because I think we're already on a, question as to whether he was a bit of a gimmick. I'm certain to lean that way. I think, if a team that can score 70 points in one game but only win 8 games in a season or something like that, and the amount of talent that they've had come through there, I just they were absolutely hammered to a team that maybe we should talk about. Maybe they're a good bit better than we think they are, but preseason, the Colts are battling out for number one pick amongst some people. I think they're probably better than that, and there's probably more talent there. Daniel Jones looked like an absolute superstar. Lots of worries about the Dolphins defense. The offense scored a garbage time touchdown.
Yeah.
No offense whatsoever.
And they were setting the Colts up off with short field positions throughout the whole game with two interceptions and that fumble from Tua. I think I'm very torn on like McDaniel because, so in one sense, he's worked miracles with Tua in my opinion, because I think Tua's not a good quarterback at all. And I know the point will go back to the concussions being the fork in the road for him, where that became the reason he's not a good quarterback anymore. But to me, it's more about the setup and the situation. Like, I think he's kind of been relied on to be carried by his offense and the coaching staff in particular in the past, and that's just not possible unless you have a stacked roster all over. So I would give him a lot of credit for what he got out of his quarterback and what he's got out of the offense. But then defensively, he's always come across as a guy who's like, I'm here to do the offense and someone else can just figure out the defense for me. And that's a major, major concern. And one of the things from this weekend, now, this is obviously just a one weekend thing. If you saw Jalen Ramsey with the Steelers, that version of Jalen Ramsey we have not seen since the Rams. Like, what was happening in Miami where he was this kind of passive player? Like, he makes the game-winning play at the end or the game-sealing play at the end where he hits Garrett Wilson and knocks the ball free. And you're like, that physicality, that's who Jalen Ramsey has always been and we've been terrified of on the outside. And in Miami, it was like he was fine, but he didn't have the impacts that they expected him to have, which is why they traded him away. So I think the Dolphins are, like, sorry, and just like to go back to what you were saying about the defense, like the plays that Daniel Jones were making, like it's not like they were incredibly difficult or spectacular plays. It was a lot of simple stuff, and Dolphins defenders are running into each other. Dolphins defenders are falling over themselves. And it's like this shouldn't be happening at the NFL level. You know, this is college football.
Okay, we will see if there is a pattern. Patriots next. Obviously interesting to see two teams with losing records after the first week. Which one spirals out of control?
I think it's worth not talking about the Patriots because I think both of the teams in the Raiders and the Patriots were interesting. I think both were teams that I think were set up for, if this goes right, you know, they could sneak in with a 6 or 7 seed this year and kind of maybe make a little bit of impact. And all the evidence, even though the scoreline, I think, was 20-13 in the end, all the evidence of the second half in particular would suggest that it's the Raiders. Now, you have to give the Patriots turnover of players, as well as new coach, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. I think, I don't have the number to hand, right, so someone could correct me, but it's in the mid-20s. I think it's 27 of the 53-man roster didn't play there last year. So
half the team.
I think that's going to take some time, and I think that's reasonable for it to take some time. But Drake May didn't look good. Diggs, certainly, as of yet anyway, doesn't look like he's doing it. The new running game, I think they only ran the ball 3 times in the second half because it wasn't working so much in the first half. And there wasn't
and the
a
game
chase.
Was never that
they
far
weren't chasing
around.
The game. No, it wasn't in a game chase situation. And Drake May shouldn't be dropping back 50 times to throw the ball. So loads of issues like that. The defense had some kind of like blown plays, but ultimately looked like they'd be fine. And especially they have their best player in Gonzalez back next week or the week after. So I think that will shape itself up. It's whether the offense can get going. So it's not panic time, but it was really poor. It was like watching the same team as last year in some ways. Will Campbell, couple of false starts, the new number 4 overall pick, left tackle, but in general was pretty good, did okay. You know, but the Raiders stood out massively to me. So they, like, Geno Smith, duck to water, like, just looks completely in control of that offense straight away. No settling in period needed with him. Like, numbers not like outstanding or anything like that, but just from what I saw at the game, which was
Pete Carroll rescued his career previously. So
yeah, but he just always makes the right decision.
Hey, by the way, and who did you tell me
strong,
the offensive
coordinator
is? I only found this
Euro mate, Chip.
Oh yeah, I heard that at the thing with Chip Kelly. I'm like, all right.
So I think as the year goes on, expect to see some interest in something. Now, Bowers got injured, which is a pity because he was absolutely phenomenal, as he has been his entire career so far. So hopefully he's not out too long. But Jacoby Myers is a good player. Their defense looked really, really strong. You know, Crosby leading the line, but they seem to have some depth. It just looks like a way more competent Raiders team with less calamity than we've seen in a long time. And actually, considering what they had at quarterback last year, they were always going to go massively up in quarterback competence with someone like Geno Smith. But also, maybe for a franchise as kind of unruly and as the Raiders, he's the perfect quarterback for them. You know, and Pete Carroll obviously still got it.
It gets lost that, like, because Richard Sherman became such a big deal and because Russell Wilson became such a story for such a long time, and even like the likes of Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor and the pass rush over there, it really gets forgotten how much work Pete Carroll did to build those Seahawks teams. Like, he built them up from the ground. Like, the, he when he took over initially, and they can't really do it anymore, but back then he was able to go through so many transactions, go through so many players. He pulled guys like Chris Clemens and Red Bryant out of nowhere, put them into these roles that worked perfectly. And these are all these small things where you're just setting players up to be more effective. So those kind of small changes, I feel like they're going to do a lot of, which is why I was kind of excited about them coming into the year. I know I mentioned it to you earlier as well, like Ashton Gentry, I was watching the game casually. I haven't gone back and watched it properly. I know he didn't have great numbers, but he looked great from what I could tell in terms of his physicality and attacking defenders and breaking tackles. So like that division I mentioned previously as well, I don't know, maybe Mick doesn't want to talk about the Broncos.
Patriots are going to have a really the Patriots are going to have a really good run defense this year.
Yeah,
they've got Barrymore, Milton
Landry on
up,
the edge.
Up the middle, Landry on the edge, and they did stop the run. So I wouldn't read anything into Gentry's. And also
concern.
he slipped and he would, on his only break he would have had another 30 yards as well.
JJ McCarthy is really good. 22 year old, number 10 overall pick, sits for a year because of injury essentially, and yeah.
He struggled a lot throughout the first half, and it was very clear that he was a bit like deer in the headlights. It was everything was moving too slow for him, and he wasn't figuring things out quick enough to get rid of the ball. And then second half, third quarter, he hit Justin Jefferson on this crossing route, and it was one of those plays where it's like, oh wow, you just made a play that's like a big boy play that you don't expect a young quarterback who's struggling to pull out of nowhere. And then from there, he just found his rhythm. He was hitting quarterbacks over and over. Wide receivers over and over. It was an interesting game in the sense that in the first half, it felt like the Bears were really, really good and really on top and really in control. And the Vikings were a bit lost on offense. And the two defenses were really disruptive. And then the second half, it completely tipped. And Caleb Williams was just a bit of a mess. Like, he wasn't reading the field. He wasn't fitting into the offense that the whole offseason has been talked about, putting him in that offense and making that work. And McCarthy was able to outshine him essentially and make enough plays. Now, I think there's a lot that he still has to figure out and get where he needs to be consistent, drive to drive, snap to snap. But in terms of making your debut, Monday Night Football, huge game, I think they were on the road as well. Really, really, a really, really big occasion for him. Like, that's a great start, and we can look forward to that continuing until he comes around.
Six quarterbacks from last year's draft started this weekend. So obviously McCarthy joining the five from last year of Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix. Where do you rank those six as of week two this year?
So Jaden Daniels is one, yeah, comfortably, by a long, long way. Who else have we got? Penix, Drake May and Penix are probably together. I put Penix ahead of Drake May.
At 2 and 3.
Yes, so Penix was really good this weekend. He's got great composure. He's really, really intelligent in what he does with the ball, but the Falcons' offensive line just kept having stupid penalties over and over and over again, which would have been unwinnable positions too often. He's such a smart quarterback that it's really easy to buy into him, whereas Drake May is very, very talented, obviously, but this year he's kind of got to show that he's got those nuanced technical aspects.
Definitely, yeah.
And then who's after that? We've got Bo Nix, Caleb, and JJ.
Caleb's bottom of the list, I think,
possibly,
is my point.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he's right off, or it doesn't mean he can't be done. He's got like the perfect coach there and everything now, but he was the consensus number one pick from nearly a year out from that draft.
Yeah.
And it went on and on, and it just shows they don't know anything. They don't know anything.
Listen
to
us.
Six quarterbacks. That is a sixth of the league from that one draft that are starting this week coming, and the one who was picked first is the worst of the six.
It does go to show, though, that what Caleb was and why he was such a high prospect was the upside. So maybe it will be one of those things that takes time. And like Josh Allen, we were talking about earlier, and actually I was talking to someone else about this recently. His first 2 years, like, he was legitimately an awful, awful quarterback.
Yeah, I think he was the fourth quarterback drafted that year as well, though, you know?
Yeah, true. But like, maybe he'll figure it out, but he's just not helped by how good everyone else is.
See the Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen?
Yeah. So who was number one that year?
Baker,
yeah. Well, Baker's the second best, at least, of that.
He was making some throws at the weekend, too.
He's had a pretty good career.
Or Lamar?
Lamar was 32nd.
At the end of that first round.
Oh, God.
Like, Hayden Hurst, the Ravens.
Patriots passed him up.
So did everyone. Literally, the Ravens passed him up even.
I know,
like,
but there was talk of the Patriots as the long-term successor for Brady, and they should have went for it. But anyway, there we go.
Sorry, you mentioned Penix there. You think he's being held back by the Falcons?
Oh, man.
It was a topsy-turvy game. They should have won.
such a frustrating
Bijan breaks
game.
Out in the first few minutes of the game. Yeah. And you're thinking, oh, this offense, finally, the one we've been waiting for 3 years.
Yeah.
And then Tyler Allgeier runs it more often than Bijan.
Straight up the middle for 2 yards.
So often.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, like.
They had such. So the play caller there, you might check it there while we're talking, but the play caller there, Zach Robinson, I think is his name. He's new. He's meant to be this kind of forward thinking, innovative guy and all this kind of stuff. And they had a red zone sequence where Tyler Allgeier ran the ball up the middle, and then Tyler Allgeier ran the ball up the middle, and then they put Bijan Robinson at fullback offset and Tyler Allgeier in the backfield, and it was like, oh, what are we going to do here? Bijan Robinson is in that weird position that he wouldn't normally be in. We wonder where the ball's going. So they gave the ball to Bijan Robinson running sideways on an end-around type of trick play where it's like, the trick play can't be giving it to the guy everyone expects the ball to go to.
No.
And it was one of those things that just captured their whole performance throughout. The big issue they have as well is they have no speed. Drake London's a big wide receiver and he's good, but he needs to be as good as Mike Evans to be that type of receiver and be the number one, and he's not as good as Mike Evans. So when Penix is dropping back and he has to get the ball out and he has to throw this perfect ball into this tight window, he might do it, but London still might not get there, and there was too many of that happening. I think the Falcons, like you mentioned with Bijan Robinson there, actually, for example, you go back to the 49ers, Christian McCaffrey's back. He's healthy again, but there was concerns about his health. He had 31 touches. Like, how many did Robinson finish with? Like, I would guess it was less than 15, less than 14. That can't be happening at this stage of his career. You're entering his prime right now because he's a running back.
Yeah.
You should be running the whole offense through him.
20 touches.
Was it 20 in the end?
No, but not 32, I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Get him to 20, but don't be 32 touches in week one. What are you going to do?
The other side of that game, though, is I talked a little bit about the Bucs last week and how they're, you know, nursing a couple of injuries as they get back into the mm-hmm. season and will likely get better as the year goes on, as they have for the last couple of years. Baker's an unbelievable quarterback for that sort of game where you're kind of like, you're a little bit behind, it's not out of reach, and the only option is actually just let him off the hook, let him off the leash, and he goes for it, and he has just more success with that kind of wild Brett Favre style play than any other kind of current quarterback. And it's actually great to watch as well. I completely understand now if you're looking at me thinking I want to take down Baker Mayfield in the mechanics, in the everything else.
You could.
But in terms of just having a fun quarterback to watch on Red Zone every week,
yeah.
I think Mayfield might be number one at the moment.
They added, I can never say his name properly, I think it's Emeke Ugbaga. He's the perfect.
Two touchdowns on his debut. Yeah.
He's the perfect receiver for Baker because he's.
Yeah, I didn't pick him. Should have picked him.
Did you? Oh, I really wanted him. I had no chance of getting him, but.
Because he seems a little bit crazy.
You got Travis Hunter. How did you find Travis Hunter?
That was the most frustrating game. It's like the Jaguars were just trying to throw him screens constantly. And again, similar to what we were just talking about with Bijan Robinson. It's like you're trying to disguise something and set a guy free, and it's like doing the thing that everyone expects you to do over and over again and isn't going to get him out and get him out in space, you know?
He looks like a very good NFL player after 1 week. It's just that obviously the Jags are so dysfunctional. Will he play fully on offense next week again? I don't know. I probably will.
They also had, it was a weird game with the lightning delay. Yeah. Carolina never laid a finger on them. So suddenly
Carolina's run defense is a nightmare.
Yeah, so suddenly you're Travis Etienne looks like your old mate Trevor Etienne got around like Walter Payton last week, which was kind of a bit of a surprise, I have to say. But they were, I think, doing like screen passes to Hunter to get him involved on obvious run plays. Like, because they were just so dominant in that game. So you couldn't really judge anything from it.
We shall see. All right, anything else?
Cam Ward is really good, really exciting.
Oh, you think so, yeah?
I say really good in the context of him being on a really bad team and him being a rookie. He made some plays where it was like, oh, wow, you're going to get the hell beaten out of you this year, but you're going to be...
Sacked six or seven times. You multiply that up over a 17 game season, you're like, whoa, he's going to be dead.
Derek Carr or David Carr. David Carr had 54 in his rookie season, wasn't it?
Like, that is, you know, you want to, well, we've got the superstar Wunderkind. What are we going to do with him? Ah, he'd be grand. I'd run around a bit.
Unfortunately, that's where the Titans are, and they're going to be there for a while.
Yeah, and I suppose there's a question this week as to where the Titans are, whether they're feisty or whether they're just like, hoping to not kill Cam Ward this year as they tried to rebuild. And that comes back to something Keane tried to bring up earlier, and I won't let it pass. But obviously we had an argument last week as to whether the Commanders or the Broncos were the better bet this year.
Oh yeah, what was the bet?
A regression/progression. I think we went for most wins because the Broncos have to step up, and there's a chance the Commanders come down. Commanders very, very solid against the still poor New York Giants team, but no sense of it all going backwards or to hell.
No.
And Broncos, really poor first effort. Now, I think there were a few circumstances there. Like, there was drops and there was, yeah, I just thought that the Broncos were going to, I think with Sean Payton building a team over the course of 3 years, finding his quarterback last year.
It's like Hamer convincing us we're going to the World Cup.
See, that might be it, unfortunately, Ger. And that's kind of the feeling I was getting. And also, it's like, now that I've kind of got this like rooting interest via the podcast, it's like, do I really want to be watching those feckin' all orange? Because you see an awful lot of the Broncos as well, because they're on the late game every week.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, so they're one of four games instead of one of eight. And you're like, oh, God, those bloody uniforms are disgusting.
I did see a headline earlier where it said Bo Nix was playing with three fractures in his back. I was like, oh, that explains the week one performance. And I went, oh, that was last year. Like, so this year he's healthy. And this is what he looks like healthy.
He was really poor. He was, yeah. And again, there's almost a part of me that's hoping that the Titans are going to be much better than we expect.
Well, that's kind of what you need to cling on to now, isn't it?
That's what I'm saying. There was
one of those interceptions that he threw where it was like, oh, that's one of those things you can't be doing in year two. You can get away with that in rookie year, maybe.
Will Nevis-esque.
Yeah, well, let's not go that far. That's an insult.
All right.
I was offered Michael Pittman for him there.
For who?
For
Bo Nix.
He's my backup quarterback.
All right, and you took that?
No, I didn't. I kept Nix because I thought there was higher upside to in the future. But now, after watching him one game this year, I'm questioning. Like,
can we talk about that Colts game? Because Scott Hansen spent all of Red Zone talking about how Daniel Jones hit this record of they scored in every possession. They punted on one of their possessions, and there was a roughing the punter penalty, and then they were set up so many times in scoring range already, so they were able to kick field goals, and they went for it in 4th and 2 when Jonathan Taylor ran up the middle, even though there was no reason for them to go for it in 4th and 2 late in the fourth quarter. I'm like, this is all being attributed to Daniel Jones as if he's like next Peyton Manning and set this record for the first time since before.
So you're not buying it.
And I'm like, come on, guys, this is nonsense. What are we doing?
I didn't see the ads. I watched for a while.
I didn't see any.
Apparently there was some, but I didn't see them.
Maybe we're not getting them in this part of the world.
I was in the screen a little bit. We couldn't see the top or the bottom.
And so that was when the ads.
I don't know. I'm just wondering. That was this. That was.
Why they wouldn't show us the ads? Are they like, oh, you Paddies can't watch this?
Yeah, I've seen.
You might be corrupted.
What's the big insurance company that they all...
Geico,
yeah.
Could be worse. There's generally worse adverts on NFL games or for other things.
All right. Shen, Sloan, see you next week.